From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, this is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us this hour at 800-933-5372. You can email your questions and answers to us at anything@kera.org. Starting us off this week, Davis writes, I'm curious about superdelegates. He said, I'd not heard of the superdelegates prior to this election. He asks, who are they? Who authorized them? He says it's bad enough that we have delegates who can usurp the election by the people. He says it appears that we, the people, are even further removed from the election process. Maybe someone can call and give a thumbnail sketch of the super delegate deal. Let's see. Karen, writing from somewhere, is wondering if the disturbing the peace law is still in effect, and if so, does it apply to cars with loud radios and booming bass? Adnan wants to know, how do you dispose of a battery that is used in a hybrid vehicle? He says, I believe they're made of lithium and are different from regular car batteries. Probably so, Adnan. Someone will call us and set us straight. Let's see. A question about sanitizing laundry that's not white from Stephanie and Richardson. Stephanie writes, I know that just washing in warm water does not actually kill the germs and bacteria like bleaching your whites. What can you do for colors? What is in the color-safe bleach, and does it have the same sanitizing properties? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Before we go to the phones, a couple more questions. Campbell in Dallas wants to know if there's anywhere to recycle threadbare garments in Dallas, or do these clothes eventually have to go into the landfill? Mary wants to know where to donate used computer printers that are working but older models. And she adds, Goodwill does not take electronics or computer-related items. And Dennis writes, everyone is concerned with alternate fuels for cars. He asks, what fuel should we use for airplanes? Is anyone working on that? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's get started with Betsy in Grapevine. Hello, Betsy.
Hi. I have a question about some wires that are running from my house. I'm wondering if who owns those wires. Is that from the telephone landline, or are they electric wires? Who would I call to find out who owns those wires, or if I wanted to, you know, get them moved?
Right. Is there more than one set?
Yes.
So the really thin one is probably, and this is just from my own experience, the really thin one is probably your telephone or cable television. And if you don't have cable, it may just be there from previous person's cable. And then the really thick, sort of braided-looking one that's connected to, it'll be connected to some sort of metal or plastic pipe that sticks up through your roof. That's your electric or power lines. But someone may have a better suggestion for you.
Well, I'm just wondering, who do I call as far as electrical? Because that's, you know, there's all different people who you pay for your, you know, for your electricity. Do I call those people to come out?
Yeah, the from what I understand, and someone hopefully could be dialing the phone right now and to give us a better answer. From what I understand, the electric service provider that you pay actually contracts to whoever owns the lines to do, you know, one service provider like TXU, for instance, in the Dallas area, it takes care of the maintenance and things like that. But also, you'll also see Encore and people like that out working too. So I think that all of those calls end up going to the same place. But you should call your electric service provider and ask them for sure.
I have an answer on the delegate question.
Okay.
I am an alternate delegate going into the convention next week.
Okay.
And I do know that the super delegates are basically mucky mucks in the Democratic Party who were past officials. For example, it's usually just mucky mucks for the superdelegates. Now, for me, as just a regular delegate, I think it's interesting. I don't know if people know this, but even though I'm a delegate for Hillary Clinton, I can change if I wanted to. There's no one that tells me I can't change and go to Obama. So somebody being a superdelegate, I don't know how, you know, different that is from a regular delegate.
Well,
I shouldn't change because I've been...
Sure.
I'm there, you know, for Hillary Clinton, but you could.
Understood. Very good. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for your question, and thanks for your call.
Thank Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Let's talk next to Jennifer in Fort Worth. Hello, Jennifer.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
I was wondering, is there a butcher shop in Fort Worth? I'm looking for a 20-pound unfrozen turkey.
And you're looking for, so you're looking for a sort of like a traditional butcher shop or something like that in Fort Worth?
Yeah, all the grocery stores, they just have frozen turkeys this time of year.
Right.
And they're all small.
Okay. Well, we'll ask, see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Sarah writes and says, I take northbound I-35 to eastbound 356 in the morning around 7:30 a.m. to work. Lately, Sarah says, I've been seeing groups of motorcycle police sitting on the side of the road. She asks, what are they doing? Is it just an effort to get people to slow down? They don't have any radar running or pointed at oncoming traffic. She says, I did hear something this morning about the police being out to make sure people are buckled up, but the police are just there talking to each other, not really looking at the traffic. Does anyone know what's going on? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at KERA.org. Brian did that as well and says, I love watching good basketball, but I'm not too interested in the playoffs, NBA playoffs this year. Does anyone know where I can get copies of past year's playoff games for the Mavericks, especially 2006 prior to the finals? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at KERA.org. Let's talk to Kristen in Dallas. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, Jeff. I think I have an answer for your the person that wanted to know about the Disturbing the Peace ordinance.
Sure.
There is a Disturbing the Peace ordinance, but I don't believe that it applies to cars and radios with, you know, the loud bass and all that. I work in the Justice Department for the state of Texas, so I come across this a lot with parolees, and what applies to this is there's a noise ordinance in most of the cities.
Okay.
And so it's a Class C misdemeanor ticket. It's not something anybody's going to get arrested for.
Right.
But it's a Class C ticket and a fine. And so people might have the loud radios and stuff. They can be pulled over by the police and given a ticket. It's just not very common.
Okay.
And is usually an excuse to see if something else is going on with the vehicle.
Very good.
So, and I think I have a little bit more information on the superdelegate.
Okay.
what it is the superdelegates, as the previous caller said, are usually party officials and kind of better known Democratic officials, and the reason the person has never heard of them before is that they typically are not necessary. Like, not that they're not necessary, because they always vote, but it being such a necessary thing is not normal. Normally, the Democratic candidate is chosen so far in advance that the superdelegate votes don't matter one way or the other,
right,
any more than anybody else's votes. But they're just people that are high up in the party, and so it can come down to them. But like I said, the only reason we haven't heard about them before, I think the last time that they were a big impact was sometime in the early 80s. So,
very good. Thanks very much for calling.
What else I know.
All right.
Thanks.
800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Let's talk to Dorothy in Dallas. Hello, Dorothy.
Yes, this is Dorothy in Dallas.
Yes, Dorothy.
I was wondering when where the most dangerous seat is in a car now. I know it used to be the right front passenger seat, but now that we have airbags,
right,
I wonder if that's still the most dangerous seat in the car to put my teenager in.
Well,
thank you.
We'll ask and see if we get an answer for you, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org from the answer stack. Let's see. Jenny near Denton says, in answer to last week's question about gnats and houseplants, Jenny says, first of all, I'm glad to hear callers asking what seems to be an increased number of green questions. She says, a common non-toxic treatment for gnats and houseplants involves a friendly bacterium called Bacillus thuringiensis. thuringiensis, israeliensis, which commonly used to kill mosquito larvae in standing water in fish ponds. I don't know how to pronounce the Latin name, but it's commonly referred to as BT or BTI. She says make a liquid using distilled or filtered water and BT pellets or a BT mosquito dunk. Drench the soil with the dunk, and it should take care of the problem. Tap water may contain too much chlorine, which could kill the beneficial organisms. And then we got another answer to this from Sunny in Dallas, who says, these gnats don't harm the plants, but they do enjoy carbon dioxide that is put off by decaying organics in plant soils. Incidentally, they also love the CO2 we exhale. That's why they often buzz right around our faces in the most annoying way. A few ways to get rid of them, Sunny says. First, note that they lay eggs in moist soil. No moisture and the eggs won't hatch. The larvae die off after a couple of days with no moisture. The life cycle of these gnats is only a few days. So if you can afford to allow your plants to remain dry at the top of the pot for a five-day stretch, you'll be rid of the critters. It says also, a small glass of sweet Zinfandel left out near the plants seems to attract the little boogers. They love to sacrifice themselves in juice and sweet fluids. To the question about barking dogs, Paul, I think in Fort Worth, said Dave Barry's answer to the barking dog question is, barking serves a vital biological purpose, according to Dave Barry again. If a dog does not release a certain number of barks per day, it will back up and the dog will explode. He says whenever you hear an unexplained loud noise in the distance, he says it's probably a dog exploding. Again, that's Dave Barry's answer to the barking dog question, thanks to Paul. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Corliss in Southlake. Hello, Corliss.
Hello. My question stems from the stories that have been on the news recently regarding formaldehyde and the FEMA trailers in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, I am building a house and we are insulating by the use of hard foam blown into our walls. And I'm wondering, from what they described, if there is formaldehyde in that hard foam. I know there's formaldehyde in the plywood that we use in building houses, and I'm a little concerned about wrapping myself in a cocoon of formaldehyde.
It's a great question. We'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Shannon in Fort Worth. Hello, Shannon.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I have an answer for your question about the disposal of hybrid batteries.
Okay.
I work for a company that does have hybrid vehicles, so
okay.
I can speak to how we dispose of them. And in the event of an accident or in the event of failure, which has not happened yet, we want them back. Our company wants to take these batteries back. We recycle the parts that are recyclable and
mm-hmm.
the parts that are not, we dispose of in an environmentally responsible way. Other companies have other ways of dealing with it. The main product in ours that allows us to maintain the power that's generated by our braking system is a nickel metal hydride gel. And that's something that we can use over and over again, and so we do.
Okay.
And lithium is something that's on its way, but at this time, if you do find a lithium battery as a hybrid vehicle, it's in a very small quantity simply because it's just expensive and heavy. So our goal as a company is to make sure that people can use this hybrid technology and be cost prohibitive. So there's your answer on that. Have a great day.
Very good. Thanks very much, Shannon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. One question from Sarah, who said, I've noticed oftentimes during the news or during talk shows on public radio, the broadcaster periodically interrupts the show to say, this is NPR News, or at 15 minutes before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show, only to continue with the news or the questioning of the guest. Sarah says, this seems very strange to me. What's going on here? Well, I want you to know that you are listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. And the reason we do that, Sarah, is just to reset and remind you. And if you notice it's before the quarter hour, that's so that you know what you're listening to over that quarter hour break. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. You can call us at 800-933-5372, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. Our email address, anything@kera.org. And I think we had car batteries, like the regular old car batteries recycling question last week. Byron in Dallas wrote to anything@kera.org and said you can take car batteries to scrap yards. They'll buy them from you and recycle them. We also had a question last week about biodiesel and conversions, et cetera. Ricardo wrote us and said, while manufacturers may not officially endorse or recommend running biodiesel in a diesel engine, the chemical properties of biodiesel will allow it to work on any diesel engine. The two primary considerations, he says, are that biodiesel may end up cleaning your fuel lines and tank, thereby clogging your fuel filter due to its slightly solvent properties. He says, easy solution, replace filter after running a couple of tanks of biodiesel. He says, also, biodiesel gels at low temps, like below 50 degrees. He says he's guessing here. So unless the temperature is consistently warm, like 80 during the day, then you have to use a blend. Usually 80-20 diesel-biodiesel blend will work even in the coldest climates. He says, but I've run 100% biodiesel in my VW during the summers in Texas. He says, biodiesel will burn more efficiently than regular diesel, lubricate your fuel pump, making it last longer, and your engine will run much, much smoother and quieter. He says biodiesel.org has some good information if you are interested. Tiffany wrote us on this question and said, check out greasecar.com, which we've linked to on this week's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know page at kera.org. For details, instructions, available kits, Tiffany reminds us that you cannot just pour vegetable oil into a diesel tank. Lots of car questions. You can call us with your questions at 800-933-5372. You can email us at anything@kera.org. And that's where we got this from Jennifer. Jennifer says, we own a gas-guzzling 94 Ford Taurus. Recently, we received notices from car dealers claiming we can trade it in for several thousand dollars under a Texas environmental program if we buy a new car from them. What is this program? And she asked, can we use it at a used car dealership? And here to answer that question, Brandilyn Barnett.
Hi, Jeff. The program is run by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. And if you, we've linked to their page through our Anything page. And if you go on to this, to their site, the headline reads, is your car or truck 10 years or older, or has it failed an emissions test? And if it meets certain requirements, and if you meet certain requirements, you are eligible for up to $3,500 towards replacing your vehicle. The eligibility requirements go from, if you're in DFW, you have to be in a participating county, but you'll find that Collin, Dallas, Tarrant, Kaufman counties are all participating counties, so most of the people in our area probably won't have a problem with that requirement. You do have to have meet certain income requirements.
Really?
Yeah, if you're in a size, if your household is one person, your maximum net income for the year has to be $31,000 or below.
Okay.
If you're in a household of eight people, you can have an income of 107,000 people or $107,000
okay.
rather. And finally, if you meet these personal requirements of income, your vehicle has to meet certain conditions. And they are, you have to have failed an emissions test, registered in your participating county area for at least 12 months preceding application, and passed a Texas Motor Vehicle Safety and Emissions Inspection within 15 months of your application. And there are other requirements. You can get a lot of details if you go to their website, which we've linked to, like I said.
Okay.
And if you do meet the requirements, the vehicle replacement assistance that can be provided ranges from $3,000 for a car, $3,000 for a truck, or $3,500 for a hybrid vehicle. So if you're interested, go check it out.
Thanks very much, Brandilyn.
Thank you.
You can call us with your answers or questions, 800-933-5372. You can email us anything@kera.org. And on the car theme, let's talk to Dean in Coppell. Hello, Dean.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine.
Question regarding about hybrid cars. I'm interested to buy one, and somebody told me that the batteries of the hybrid cars has to be changed every 5 years, and they can cost around $10,000 or so, or maybe more. And I have a little concern about it. I just don't have enough information. If somebody can help me out, I would really appreciate it.
Let's ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right.
Thanks, bye. 800-933-5372. Up next is Andrew in Dallas. Hello, Andrew.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Oh, yes, I had an answer for the cables that the lady was talking about.
Yeah. The electric cables to her house.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She if it's on a pole, usually the way that it goes, the bottom cable is going to be the telephone, the middle cable is going to be your cable TV, and the top one's going to be your power.
Uh-huh.
And if, you know, she can see which one is connected, then, she'll know. But usually there's a box on the side of your house and, it'll say if it's a telephone or not.
Right.
And a lot of times the power is run really far underground.
Okay. We lost you there. Let's talk next to Barbara in Dallas. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I called with at least a partial answer for the person who was looking for a way to sterilize colored clothes.
Yes.
Or fabric. The bleach that's for colored fabrics will not sterilize them.
Okay.
I just recently researched that, and I didn't find a way to sterilize that one. My doctor did tell me that dry cleaning will kill the germs on colored clothes. But as for a way to wash colored clothes, I still don't know.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. We did get an email on this from someone who says for sanitizing colored fabrics and laundry, I use a quarter cup of pine opine or Lysol liquids, the ones that kill germs, not just deodorize. It used to be on the label of some of these products, and it makes the clothes smell good too, especially, the emailer adds, my dog and cat's blankets. Regarding recycling of old computer equipment and printers that still work, Angela says, try the Christina Foundation, christina.org, for old computer equipment. There's a note here that we will link to that. They take used computer equipment for people in need. However, they don't take everything. And Angela reminds us to try freecycle.org, freecycle, freecycle.org. She adds, please don't throw it away. Most electronics are full of toxins. If you can't get rid of it, please recycle it. HP and Staples will recycle your electronics for a fee, but they will be properly recycled. And like a lot of free recycling programs, there are donation drop boxes for clothing recycling. Again, you might try freecycle.org, but be aware a lot of our junk ends up being exported overseas, even if we think it's too worn out to be useful. Even those boxes marked clothing recycling may be selling the clothing overseas. Jimmy says, I'm not sure which, Goodwill or Salvation Army or both, take threadbare clothes. All clothes are sorted, and those not suitable for resale are sent to be recycled. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A question that I might be able to answer. This is from Joey and Tyler. It says, hey, Jeff, I really love the show. Thank you, Joey. A quick question that you yourself could probably put to rest for me. Why does Think, he says, another wonderful show, thank you again, sound so different on the weekend? He says, it sounds like Chris Boyd might be in a different studio or using different equipment, and I've often wondered about it. I can answer this question for you, Joey, because the Think episode you hear on Sunday is actually, it's actually the audio portion of the Think television program. Think, the series, airs not only on KERA radio during the week, Monday through Thursday, noon to 2, but it also airs on KERA 13, our television station, on Friday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and on Sunday mornings at 11:30 a.m. It's a TV show. And so you get the audio of that TV show on Sundays at 5 right here on the radio. It sounds different because the mics are different, the studio's different. We're using television microphones. So, but we do the best we can to make sure it sounds pretty good. But thanks for the question. And check it out on, you can check it out online. If you go to kera.org/think, there's a click on video and you can see all the TV shows right there online. 800-933-5372 is the number for this show. And let's talk to Joni in Coppell. Hello, Joni.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I have a response to a caller regarding formaldehyde and issues relating to installing building materials in her new house.
Sure.
When it comes to any material such as that, it's required that the manufacturer produce hazard information not only on the label of the product itself, but also a material data sheet. Label is law, and everything is supposed to be reproduced on a material safety data sheet. If you want to find any sort of hazardous ingredients, any sort of cautionary statements, eye irritation, inhalation issues, things like that, that is going to be your best source of information because it's related directly to the product. So I recommend that she go either to the manufacturer's website or, like, say we go to Home Depot and we purchase some products.
Right.
Upon request, they are required to give you a material safety data sheet for that product. And you can find all related information on this sheet. And then also, the label is sometimes a better source of information because it's specific to that material. Sometimes the material safety data sheet will be a little more generic. But
right.
either one are very good information relating back to hazards and any sort of ingredients that might be hazardous themselves.
Very good. Joni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And that's where we got this from Rodney. He says, I was listening to a past show from March 28th over my laptop from a past podcast, and someone had asked where to take metal clothes hangers that his dry cleaner he used would not take. He says, I believe if he called a uniform company, I guess a uniform supply company, they would accept them to hang the uniforms on that they deliver throughout the Metroplex. Thank you very much, Rodney. We also had a question last week, I think it was last week, about where to find local produce in Tarrant County. And Shane sent us, Shane from Dallas sent us a great link. This is a great site that we've linked to on the Anything page, which you can find at kera.org/anything. Most local farmers, Shane writes, can be found on the following website. It's just Local Harvest, all one word, localharvest.org. He says also, several farmers markets are in Tarrant County, but you can ask the vendors where exactly their products come from. He says, check out the Colleyville Farmers Market, which is on Colleyville Boulevard in Colleyville. The Coppell Farmers Market, which is on West Bethel Road, 1 mile west of Denton Tap Road in Old Town Coppell. There's also the Cowtown Farmers Market at State Highway 377 at Southwest Boulevard in Fort Worth. And he's listed several others here, but check out localharvest.org for more information. To answer the person's question, is moving west of Fort Worth and is having trouble getting our, sadly, having trouble getting the KERA, getting the great KERA out there. Chris from Fort Worth says, the best way to get NPR programming if your radio can't pick it up is on the internet. It says, if you have the net download iTunes, you can get podcasts to all of your favorite shows. Just Google the show, and then you can usually download it as a podcast. Or if you want, you can just listen live online. And you can do that online at kera.org. And thank you very much, Chris, for writing in. Let's talk next to Lisa in Arlington. Hello, Lisa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question regarding when to get your oil changed. I had someone point out to me the other day that, you know, because of gas mileage and I'm in sales and stuff, so I'm having to do it more frequently. Mm-hmm. But she said, look in your manual. You will not find in your car manual, you will not find anywhere that they suggest when you should get your oil changed. And sure enough, I've got a new Santa Fe and it doesn't say anywhere in there. So I'm thinking maybe the oil companies are the ones who said you should get your oil changed every 3,000 miles. So I'd like to find out if somebody knows what is a good time, good safe time that you can actually go to. Mileage-wise,
right.
Before you get your oil changed.
You do city, highway, or both, mostly?
Both.
Okay. Well, let's ask, see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Frank in Allen. Hello, Frank.
Hi. I have a quick question. There's a structure being built between Segoville and Crandall on the East Fork of the Trinity River, and it looks like some kind of pumping station, but I was just curious as to what its function is, if anyone knows that. And a quick answer to the last question is I was a mechanic. I put myself through college doing that, and it is a good idea to change your oil every 3,000 miles. Oils are getting better, so if you're using synthetic oil, sometimes 5,000 miles is a better number, but it cannot hurt to change your oil at 3,000 miles. I've seen so many engines that were completely gummed up and ruined because somebody did not change their oil on a regular basis.
Very good. Thanks, Frank.
No problem. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk to Betty in Fort Worth. Hello, Betty.
Hi, Jeff. My problem is just about a month ago, I had a new evaporator coil for my AC and a new furnace installed in my attic.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 weeks later, I turn on my AC, and 24 hours later, I hear a drip, drip, drip coming from my attic. I look in it. The overflow pan has water in it. I call the contractor. He comes over, and he takes off the side, and he said water is just spewing in the evaporator coil and that he will have to get with the manufacturer to find out what's wrong. Well, in the meantime, I contacted a friend, and he said it sounded fishy to him that it sounded like they had put a vertical system in and just turned it over on its side to make it horizontal.
Right.
And when I go in my attic and I try to read the numbers, it's obvious that that is a vertical system. Hmm. Everything is written that way.
Right.
And he says that it will never work, and I want to know, will it ever work? And if not, do I have recourse? Should they replace the whole system and put in a horizontal system for me?
Well, we'll ask and,
thank you so much.
And see if we can get some advice for you.
Okay, thank you.
800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Kay in Fort Worth. Hello, Kay.
Hi. I have an answer for the lady who wanted to disinfect laundry.
Sure.
You can use Lysol disinfectant, the concentrate. The regular Lysol probably has skin irritants, so I wouldn't bother with that. But Lysol concentrate is the one that says that it makes 9 gallons. Also, to the lady that wanted to find the fresh turkey in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
She can try Basham Foods over on I-35 in Hemphill.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk to Dan in Lewisville. Hello, Dan.
Hi. I have a friend on the Crandall City Council, and I asked him that same question a couple days ago.
About the this is about the building they're building between Crandall and Sickleville.
Yeah, I apologize.
That's okay.
What that facility is twofold. One, it's designed as a nature preserve for wildlife and waterfowl. And the second is they're doing a natural filtration system. If you also noticed, about a couple months ago, they installed gigantic water pipes towards Forney and on towards Rockwall and Rowlett as a secondary source of water for the cities that are out in this area so we don't have a drought issue like we did a couple years back. So that's the answer.
Very good. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it is anything you ever wanted to know. For the rest of the hour, we'll take your calls at 800-933-5372. We'll take your emails at anything@kera.org. And that's where we got this from Don in Garland, who says, all old electronic products, printers, monitors, televisions, computers can be disposed of by visiting the Dallas County Recycle Center on Plano Road, south of Forest Lane. He says the Recycle Center will provide you with a list of businesses who take the electronic items. You should call the businesses on the list to verify that they indeed do take what they have listed on that sheet. The businesses resell or otherwise distribute the old items abroad. And let's see. We had an answer about the superdelegates. It says, just a note, superdelegates are misnamed. This is from Gary, proudly listening at work. Hello, Gary. Their votes count the same as every other delegate selected through the primaries or caucuses. They just are not selected that way. They're governors, members of Congress, so on. Theoretically, my vote as an elected delegate would count the same as Al Gore's, but nobody would care about mine, whereas Mr. Gore's might sway others. Teresa in Grapevine says, the superdelegates are prominent party people, not always elders, who are either elected, like mayors, governors, state party chair, etc., or appointed by those elected party leaders. Teresa says, think of the electoral system of representation. For example, Boyd Ritchie gets to appoint additional delegates based on his status as Democratic state party chair. This system was voted on by the Democrats to keep chaos from ensuing. However, this is the first time the Democrats have actually had to use the superdelegates, and she adds, and chaos ensues. Question she has, I'm attending the Texas Democratic Convention next weekend as a delegate. Teresa asks, why do I keep hearing the media state that after Tuesday's final primaries, all pledged delegates will have been counted? She says, let's not even mention Florida and Michigan. Teresa adds, the Texas Convention will elect delegates on June 6th and 7th to represent their pledged candidates in Denver. Given the example above, why are these delegates and their impact on the numbers not being mentioned in the media? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's talk to Purvesh in Dallas. Hello, Purvesh.
Hi. Well, I was having a very simple question right now. and I have another complex, but let's go to a simple one.
Okay.
And that was, I heard a music in Lion Rings this morning. It was a break time, and then they played a music.
Right.
I wanted to know what music was that.
Okay.
It's just instrumental. So.
Right. Maybe someone will know, and we'll call, because we don't have any kind of record of that here.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm sorry.
I thought you would. So I just thought, let me check.
Sure.
Out.
And what's your more complex question?
The complex question was about the hydrogen technology cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all the research and everything done, and they have it available since, like, BMW made hydrogen cars in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And all other companies have had them for more than 10 years. What do you think, why are they holding back on producing them? Most probably is the economic reason that they want to get more out of what their technology is. But is there a place where one can buy the hydrogen fuel cells right now?
We had this question either last week or the week before, and the overwhelming answer we got was that it takes more energy right now to make it work than you get out of the hydrogen.
In fact, I have the whole research paper documents. I will send it out to you guys to look into it. But according to the documents, they already have the stations available. They have home fueling stations available.
Okay. Well, maybe someone will have an answer for you.
That'd be good, yeah. I'll look for it. I can buy one.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's talk to Steve in Dallas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, I have an answer on the oil change frequency question.
You bet.
I'm 55 years old. I've had cars and maintained them since I was 16 and had several go 200,000 miles or so before mm-hmm. I had to get rid of them. And, you know, it used to be that the manuals would tell you 7,500 miles, but they'd have a big qualifier, you know, unless you did unusual driving, and then they describe unusual driving, which is essentially like most city driving.
Right.
So then they'd say more frequently, but they wouldn't tell you how often. And I always heard 3,000, 3,500 miles. But then I began my own experience, and, you know, Consumer Reports did some testing, and the Car Talk guys talk about this several times,
right?
Usually once a year at least. And I think the consensus is for, you know, an average driving city and highway mix, every 5,000 miles is plenty often. And I've done that, and it's easy to remember. Change it on the fives, and you're okay.
Very good. Steve, thanks very much. All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Last week, there was a question about the upcoming digital conversion, which is going to take place in, I believe it's in February of 2009, of television. And Matt in Arlington, who says, wrote us and said, as an employee of Time Warner Cable, I have the answer to today's question on the conversion to digital next February. It says, digital is the mode of the signal, and it's a data stream of ones and zeros as opposed to the analog waveform. It says, the picture is clear without the imperfections or noise that creeps into analog signals. The signal is there or not, but it's clear when it's there. When pieces are missing, you get little squares popping up, which we call tiling. He says, that is digital, not high definition. He says, high definition or HD is transmitted digitally, but is not the standard that we are moving to. So don't rush, he says, to buy an HD TV. Satellite, cable, and Fios receivers will translate the digital signal for your television. He says, if the lady who called is satisfied with her picture, she should call her provider. Most installations, cable or satellite, are done by contractors. She may need an in-house technician to look at her picture. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Lee in Dallas. Hello, Lee.
Hello, how are you? Someone already answered the question about Tom and Ray saying that every 5,000 miles would be fine for the oil change.
Yep.
Also, the email you'd gotten about the recycling of the wire hangers, mm-hmm. most cleaners will take those back willingly.
Okay. Yeah, the question was from someone whose cleaners wouldn't. So
I didn't realize that.
Take them to some other place. And actually, I've heard some news stories about cleaners. You know, the cost of hangers is going up, so maybe they're changing their policies.
That may be true, too.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Let's get a couple more questions in for you to answer over the weekend. Terry in Plano writes, I lived in Quonset Village for a while in the late 40s or early 50s, but my memories are sketchy. Can any of your listeners help me determine exactly where Quonset Village was located and if any vestiges of it remain? Danny says, I have a question about the identity of a tiny animal I've seen lately, especially in the summer months. Sometimes I'll notice a sensation that feels like an intense burning or itching that only affects a tiny area of skin about the size of a pinprick. He says, I've seen tiny golden yellow bugs of some sort at the very point where the sensation is concentrated. He says, the bugs are not much wider than the width of a human hair, and they seem to have a kind of thin oval shape to them. Does anybody know what they are? Brian in Plano wants to know why HOV lanes close in the absence of any visible issue. He says, I can certainly understand closing the lanes when there is some traffic obstruction or road work in progress, but I often find the HOV lanes closed when there is no apparent reason. For example, the US 75 Central Expressway HOV lanes appear to close outside of peak traffic hours. He says, I can't imagine why. And Tyree in Mansfield writes, early this morning around midnight, I encountered a traffic jam while driving south on 360 near Pioneer Parkway. Tyree says the police had shut down the freeway and were diverting traffic onto an access road. As I approached, I saw four or five semi-truck trailers parked side-by-side on the freeway, completely blocking the roadway. This was apparently what had caused the situation. He says, does anyone know what this was all about? And from Emma, a question I don't think we've ever answered. We may have had this before. Why are cellulose sponges moist in their original cellophane packaging? She says, I've done my market search at supermarkets and big box stores all over Dallas, and all such new sponges are moist. Does bacteria grow in these packages? Is it sanitary? I just opened a new package purchased months ago, and they're still moist. And Emma's writing from Oak Cliff. I think that they're soaked with some sort of sanitizing. At least that's what I've been told on the streets. But let's get an official, definitive answer. If not today, over the weekend at anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to a very patient Sean in Richardson. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I had a quick answer for the person looking to get the signal out West Fort Worth.
Yeah.
I used to live out there. If it's in the car, Skosh is a brand, S-C-O-C-H-E. Mm-hmm. They make an FM signal booster. I had an order online with like $12. Took it down to Best Buy, had it installed. My radio sounded crystal clear wherever I went.
Okay, very good. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Let's talk to Mustafa in Dallas. Hello, Mustafa.
Yes, how are you?
Doing well.
I have an answer for the lady with the air conditioning problem. I've been burnt by air conditioning contractors a number of times. What I would do if I were, I would look up the brand and the model of what she has received. And there is a 99% possibility that the manufacturer, the original equipment manufacturer, is either located in Waco or Tyler. And she should be able to look up the telephone number by doing searches online and call them up. And I would get a written statement on how that system is supposed to be installed. And if she cannot take that to the contractor and get it resolved, there is a regulatory board in Austin, Texas, that oversees the operation and functionality of all of these glorified air conditioning contractors. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she should be able to address that with them. And she should be able to draw some attention.
Very good.
Air conditioning contractors, they're very good in selling your bill of goods and then just run. And I think your hour doesn't allow me, but, you know, I can talk hours on, you know, how these guys operate and what they do.
Well, I appreciate the advice for our listener, Mustafa, and thanks very much for your call. A couple of answers that have just come in. Metal hangers, this is from Amy. They're metal. Just stick them in your usual recycling. She says they recycle just like metal cans. Joe in Frisco says, here's an answer for, do you need to replace the battery in a hybrid vehicle after 5 years, and how much does it cost? He says, I have a 2007 Prius, and the warranty on the battery is for 8 years or 100,000 miles. He says, you do not have to replace the battery unless you're experiencing problems, and a quick Google search notes replacement cost is around $4,500 on that vehicle. David in Plano says, hybrid batteries carry a large electrical charge, something like 70,000 volts, and should never be changed by a layperson. He says, for fear of instant death. They should only be changed by an expert, for example, a dealer. It says, my Prius battery says it will last about 7 years, and the dealers were very insistent that only experts should be involved in the process. David says, a new one for my car is about $5,000. The dealer or expert removing it will take care of the recycling of the same. And he says, again, a layperson cannot do this, as the recycling is completely different from ordinary recycling. Thank you very much, David. And Dean chimes in on the oil change question. He says, change it every 3,500 to 4,000 miles if you drive mostly in the city. Change it every 5,000 to 6,000 miles if you drive mostly on the highway. Let's talk quickly here to Lynn in Plano. Hello, Lynn.
Yes, hi. I have two quick and unrelated questions.
Okay.
I've often wondered this myself, but someone kind of tagged on to it last week, the lady who was interested in trying to find out how to get rid of gnats.
Mm-hmm.
And someone suggested putting out a little container of red wine. My thought and my question has always been, why is it that flying bugs are more attracted to red wine versus white wine? Is it because the aroma is more intense? I know, you know, as a wine drinker, you know, they want you to generally smell the red wine, but no one really, you know, suggests, you know, you don't, that's not a part of white wine drinking, generally speaking. So I just wondered if the bugs are just attracted to the aroma.
Okay.
Second question is, often in my home, I could be watching TV, and I notice that, for instance, I could be watching Channel 8, and I look away, or just looking at the TV, it changes to Channel 7. Just by itself, the same thing happens if I'm, let's say, watching Channel 40, and it flips to Channel 39. My remote is nowhere near me. I have not gotten up from my comfortable spot.
Right.
What is causing the TV channel to change on their own? It's beginning to be a little strange for me.
Well, we'll ask, and hopefully we'll get an answer for you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And really quickly, let's talk to Dax in Corinth. Hello, Dax.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I have an answer to the Diane Rehm theme music is the Suite for Trumpet and Jazz Trio by Claude Bowling.
Very good. Thanks very much.
No problem.
All right. And one more question from Michelle in Fort Worth. Hello, Michelle.
Hi. I have a question about dry cleaning.
Okay.
I'm looking for dry cleaners in the Metroplex, preferably in South Arlington or Southeast Fort Worth, but I'd be willing to drive farther. I'm looking for one that does not use the solvent called PERC. Hopefully I could find one that uses a liquid CO2 method or even wet cleaning method.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you over the weekend and bring it in to start the show next week.
Okay. Lastly,
quickly, Michelle.
Many cities do not allow recycling of hangers because they tangle up the recycling equipment.
Great point. Thanks very much, Michelle, for your call.
Thank you.
Anything you ever wanted to know is produced by yours truly. Our engineer is Jeannie Mascoro. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answers the phones. Thank you, Fiona. And our assistant producer, you heard him on the show today, Brandilyn Barnett. Thank you very much, Brandilyn. You can download episodes of the show at KERA.org. And while you're there, you can sign up for the free weekly podcast of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Just go to KERA.org/anything. And check it out. Of course, please send your questions and answers, comments, and suggestions to anything@kera.org. I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great weekend.